Speaking on this program is Jim Dearman.
And truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples which are not written in this book. But these are written, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, you may have life in his name. Those are the words recorded in John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. And they speak of a belief in Jesus Christ that we learn in the New Testament is an obedient belief, an obedient faith. And that through that obedient faith, we may have life in his name. Life in his name refers to life by the authority of Christ. Life in his name, life by his authority. When it is the Lord who authorizes, we must submit. There's an excellent example of such submission in John chapter 21, verses 1 through 8. I'd like to read those verses. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And in this way he showed himself, Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing. They said to him, We are going with you also. They went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, Children, have you any food? They answered him, No. And he said to them, Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from land, but about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. This example in John 21, 1 through 8, is an example of submission. This miracle that is recorded here illustrates what we read a few moments ago in John 20, 30 and 31, that Jesus truly did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, and that the ones that are written here are to produce faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Notice the word, therefore. Therefore, verse 7, that disciple whom Jesus loved, after Jesus had performed this miracle by telling them to cast on the right side of the boat, and then they were not able to draw in the net because of the multitude of fishes, this disciple whom Jesus loved, who is identified as John, said to Peter, It is the Lord. Therefore, in other words, when the miracle was evident, we find the word therefore, and the conclusion from John, it is the Lord. You see, the miracles of Jesus demonstrated his deity and produced a powerful faith in the hearts of hearers whose hearts were receptive to truth. Faith must submit to the Lord's authority. Our faith must be a submitting faith. We must submit to the authority of Christ. That's always been true. Look at the Old Testament with characters such as Noah, Genesis 6, 8, and 9. Noah found grace or favor in the eyes of the Lord. Verse 9 says, Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. And when God gave Noah the instructions to build the ark, verse 22 of Genesis 6 says, Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so he did. And yes, in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, in that great hall of fame of the faithful, as it is sometimes called, we find Noah there along with others. But specifically in verse 7 of Hebrews 11, we find these words concerning Noah. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Noah's faith submitted to the authority of God. Abraham is another Old Testament character whose faith was a submissive faith, a faith that submitted to the authority of Christ. And again in Hebrews 11, beginning with verse 8, we find these words concerning Abraham. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would afterward receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Now listen to verse 10. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Abraham's faith was a submissive faith, submitting to the authority of God. Moses, in building the tabernacle, was told to do all of that building according to the pattern that had been shown to him in the mount. And in Exodus 40 and verse 16, we find that so he did, according to all that God commanded him, so he did. Words virtually identical to those spoken concerning Noah in Genesis 6, verse 22. And so, this idea that faith must submit to the Lord's authority was true in the Old Testament and with those who were pleasing to God in the Old Testament, but it's also true under the New Covenant as well. That principle has never changed. There's a similar incident recorded in the Gospel according to Luke, an incident similar, that is, to the one we read about a moment ago in John 21, 1 through 8. And there we find this incident in Luke 5, beginning at verse 4. Now when he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, this is the Lord speaking, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. Notice, Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. That's an important statement. After being told to launch out, then verses 5 and 6 reveal that Peter, fully aware of a fruitless and fatiguing night of fishing, was still willing to do what the Lord had said. Now when we go back to John chapter 21, the incident we read about a few moments ago, let's notice Peter's reaction to what John said. When John said, it is the Lord, how did Peter react? Peter, when he heard it was the Lord, put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and notice, he plunged into the sea. He hurried to Jesus, eager to be with the Lord. And then when we read verses 10 and 11 of John 21, Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish which you have just caught. Verse 11, Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land full of large fish, 153, and although there were so many, the net was not broken. And it is in this same chapter, a bit later, that Peter expressed his love for Christ in a poignant exchange that culminated in the command of Jesus to Peter, follow me. Remember, he asked him three times, Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And that poignant exchange culminated in the admonition, follow me. You see, the lesson is clear. When we know it is the Lord who has authorized or failed to authorize, we must respond accordingly. Jesus' words are recorded in Luke 6:46, which tell us, why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? In John chapter 12 and verse 48, Jesus made it clear, he who rejects me, he said, and does not receive my words, has that which judges him, the word that I have spoken, will judge him in the last day. The authority is in the Word. That's where the authority of Christ has been deposited, finally and forevermore. It is the New Covenant, the New Testament of Jesus Christ, that is going to judge us in the last day. Jesus said, "The words that I have spoken, they are the words that will judge you in the last day." In other words, His new covenant, what He authorized there, what He has revealed there through the apostles and other inspired writers, that is the authoritative and final Word of God through Jesus Christ. And remember that the writer of Hebrews made it clear that while God had spoken at various times in various ways before the new covenant, that He spoke in the last days through His Son, Jesus Christ. And so we must be obedient to that Word, that finally revealed Word, the written Word, the Scripture that is all-powerful, all-sufficient, and furnishes a man completely unto every good work. That is what the Lord has said. It is the Lord who said, "Love as I have loved." It is the Lord who said, "Live as I lived." And yes, it is the Lord who said, "Leave as I left." Those are three important statements that we're going to look at next time in part two, the final part of this two-part study, this vital study on the authority of Jesus Christ and the fact that that authority resides in His last will and testament, the New Testament of Jesus Christ. Jesus says through that Word, "Love as I have loved," John 13:34-35. He says, "Live as I have lived." We're to follow His example that He has left for us. And yes, finally, we're to leave as He left. How did Jesus leave the world as one who had lived as a human being as well as being deity in this world? He left this world after overcoming the world through His perfect work of redemption. And we may leave this world only by leaving as He left, overcoming the world through our obedient faith.